Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Debbie Rowley.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists and ground cloth stabbers, because we got to get those folks in too.
Yep. Yeah, the sew method or the stab method.
Yes.
I'm pretty much a stabber, so.
Yep. Whatever gets that frustration out,
that's
what we go
right.
Sponsored by Fire Poppies. Yep. Susan Winter, Fire Poppies, sponsored by them. All the poppies, all of them. And if you watched our, you watched our Easter Stitch-a-thon, Susan was on and you got to see the full coverage Fire Poppies piece that generated the name for the business.
That was a beautiful piece. Really was.
Yeah. She's making progress on that thing too, because it wasn't too long ago. She wasn't all that far. So go Susan. Yeah.
Yes. Keep going.
Yep. Yeah. That's going to be nice when it's done. That's impressive. Yep.
But I was going to add, I hope she's so busy taking orders, filling orders, shipping orders, and et cetera, that she doesn't have time to stitch.
There we go. Yep.
You know, I would love for her to be able to stitch and finish the piece and all that, but I'd really like for her to be busy.
Yep. Let it just sit in the corner. Yep. That's right.
Yes. And so, I'd like to be stitching, but oh, nope, I've got 10 more orders to send out.
Yep. That's the better. So let's see. At the Poppies here, we have the Brenda Gervais Coming to America. Get signed up for that. You need to sign up for these things so that these ongoing things. And so get connect with the shop to get in on the Brenda Gervais Coming to America series. And then around the 1st of May is when Susan plans to get the payment information, fabric preferences, and all that stuff nailed down. But you need to contact her if you want in on that. And I understand from Vanna that it's one of those where you get in up front and then you don't get in later on. So anyway, check that out with Susan at Fire Poppies and get in on that if you're interested. Brenda Gervais always delivering something good. Then we have the Amy Brucken 365 Days of Warm Woolly Welcomes. That starts in June. That's another series. I'm curious about that one just because of the name, Warm Woolly Welcomes.
I'm more curious about the 365 days of...
Yeah.
Is it 365 designs? Oh my gosh, I sincerely hope not.
I hadn't thought about that part. I couldn't get past the warm. So that's all right. Now I got to check it out. Now I'm curious. Let's see what Amy's got going there.
That's what I keep getting hung up on. I guess because I'm a designer, I'm like, she's coming up with 365 designs?
How's she doing that?
Which I'm sure it's not that. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but that's all I'm just like, oh, holy smokes.
I got to check this out. Now you've done it, Debbie. Now I'm curious. Just what is Amy doing here? All right. I'll have to get that and report. And then the eggs.
What's that? I want to know.
Yeah. I got to get a report on that. I got to find out. Now, that just changed the whole thing. All right. Because that, even if it's half those number of designs, that's impressive. So, yeah, we got to know.
Even if it's, one a week, that's impressive.
Yeah. There's a central triangle, and she just keeps turning it 10 degrees. No, I'm pretty sure it's more than that. All right. Now I have to get information and report. Okay.
Okay, good.
Good. I needed something to do. I was bored out of my mind. So, I'm glad to have that. And then the eggs. The egg that Jessica Grimm showed when she was on a Friday night show here a couple, 3 weeks ago that she got from Susan, that is a wooden egg. It's a design that comes from Russia. And it's a wooden egg with a band of needlepoint around it and then beads to form kind of a net structure to hold the wooden egg. And that's my description of it. Anyway...
That's pretty accurate. I saw the picture and I was thinking, isn't that lovely? And that's very intriguing. And I wonder, could you paint the egg underneath too?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that's when I saw it. Same thing. Ooh, you can do things with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, Susan has orders for 10 each. There are three different versions and she has orders for 10 each of those. Through Wichelt,
Wichelt.
Wichelt. But they got to come out of Russia. So if you want to get in on one of those, call Susan at the shop and get on the waiting list. I'm on the waiting list. I got one coming. She's not taking any money up front because she doesn't know about shipping because of the quarantine thing. But get on the list. I'm on the list for one of those 10. Well, it's actually 30. So one's gone. But yeah, I want to do one of those. It looks great. So do that. And then the Priscilla and Chelsea Trucking Along series is also available through Fire Poppies. And then she's also getting the re-release chart from Blackbird Design Sweet Land of Liberty. And on top of that, of course, Lowry Frames. She is a U.S. distributor for Lowry Frames. You can get your frames and or stands, not frames, stands and all the accessories, along with that Q-Snap corner holder, which I think is pretty brilliant design there. All those from the Fire Poppies. So thanks to Susan and Fire Poppies and firepoppies.com. Hit her up on that. Yep, put her to work. Put her to work. All right, so tonight we have, and I say this tonight as assuming I'm going to get this podcast up before we start the show, which I did not do last week. Tonight is the Quarantine Stitch Hour. Vaughn and I have two huge announcements tonight, so join us for that. We'll be back on Friday Night Live for our normal Friday Night Live show, Quarantine Stitch Hour, on Saturday. Sunday is Liz Matthews from Hello from Liz Matthews. Excellent designer and really great conversation. And then back again on Monday for another Stitch Hour. And then don't forget now, May 1st, Hannah Longstreth, 1805, Queenstown Sampler Designs. We're starting that Stitch Along on May 1. And then on July 5, Vonna's birthday, and it's one of those with a zero on the end, Royal Garden, Debbie Rowley's Royal Garden. We're doing it. I have it all right here on my table, all kitted up. Yep. And Vonna's busily working at County Canvas stuff. I think she's training herself to get ready for this.
Well, okay. I was going to say, I always have people who have never done County Canvas in my classes because they like the design and they want to tackle it. And as long as you are motivated, you can do it. All you need is some motivation.
Yep.
You don't need skills. You don't need years of experience. You don't need anything else. You just need, I like this design. I want to stitch this design. That's all you need.
Yes. See, that's the thing. And I mean, the reason we're doing this is because I already had it kitted up and I like it and I wanted to do it. And so I dragged Vonna into it. But, you know, I know people look at your stuff, number one, a lot of it as difficult, and it's not. But then they also look at your bigger designs, and this is one of them, as, you know, a monumental project. I mean, people have that perception. And, yeah, they're big, but you'll never convince me that they're hard. You never will. I mean, yeah, they take some dedication. They take some effort. But your instructions are, every time, as clear as can be. And, you know, pardon me while I just suck up here, but I said this on Sunday, too, and I've said it many times. It's all right there. And if you join us for this Stitch-Along project, you'll have plenty of help, Vonna and me. And Debbie has offered many times to jump in, do shows, do whatever to help you succeed with it. But it's not there's a lot to it, but I don't think it's that difficult, is it?
Well, yeah. No, it's not. And it's okay. So it's 12 inches square. The design is 12 inches square. That's why it's so big. Okay. But when you consider that, like, the center stitch covers a square inch.
Yeah.
And several of the stitches cover quite a bit of ground. Once you get that stitch done, I mean, honestly, after 2 hours of stitching on a County Canvas piece and you look at what you've got covered on your canvas as compared to 2 hours of virtually anything else, you'd be amazed at how much you can get done. I mean, it really goes fast. I think, you know, now, admittedly, I'm not having to look at instructions and all that other kind of stuff when I stitch one of my own pieces. But I think it took me like 2 weeks to stitch the whole Royal Garden start to finish. And that's not working all day, every day. That's working 2 hours here, 1 hour there. That's how long it took.
Yep. Yeah, I just don't see them. I've not encountered any of yours that I thought were, oh man, I just can't handle this. They're just, sometimes there's a lot going on. There's different stitches, different types of threads.
Yeah.
But the instructions are there. And in this particular one, it's a very geometric piece in that there are, each quadrant is the same.
Yes.
And so it's not like you have to learn something new every time you turn around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I do write my instructions as if I write my instructions for me. When I was a beginning County Canvas stitcher, I encountered a lot of pieces where the instructions were not clear. And so I write all of the instructions as if you had barely know how to thread a needle and to bring the needle up at one and down at two. And everything is step by step to help you get through it. It's not, oh, do a double fan doubled and then there's no instruction.
Right, right.
And it's not do this stitch. If I have pieces that have multiple different sizes of stitches in them, you get a diagram for each size of the stitch.
Yep.
Not, oh, here's how to do a Smyrna. Now do it over two, do it over four, do it over six. No, you get a diagram for each one of them. So everything is completely laid out, everything you can do.
Yep. I have used your charts for projects as references when I'm doing other designers.
I've heard that before.
Yes.
And you know, I don't get the big head from it. It's just my background is in writing. And so if I can't, my degree is in writing. If I can't write clear instructions, I wasted a lot of time in college.
Yeah. No, I do. I use them, a Walnetto or, if I haven't done something in a long time, I'll haul out one of your charts and hunt it down and use that as my guide. Cause whatever diagramming you use is just always so clear that, so that's why I say to people that your stuff looks difficult, but it's really not. And you take it, you know, like these are big but you have small ones and, but the instructions are good. And if you just take them one element at a time, you'll get it worked out. It's not difficult. And with all of these, particular yours, you get to use a lot of different threads.
Yeah. You get to try different things.
Yeah. Yep. And you might find a thread you like that you've never used before. You just never know.
Yeah. You just never know.
Yeah. So that's coming up on July 5. July 5, we're going to start that. Have the kit. Just bought stretcher bars. And I'm going to get that kind of lined up. Because Vaughn and I were talking the other day about how May 1st, you know, we got time for that, Hannah Longstreth. And then we looked at the calendar and realized that's 2 weeks away. And, well, July 5, that's way out there. That's way out there.
Yeah, now, that is a long time away.
No, it's not.
Yeah, we got tons of things to do between now and then.
No, it's not. It's it'll be here in no time.
Yeah.
So join us for that. And those kits available, Hannah Longstreth and Royal Garden, available from Kim at Sassy Jack's at 15% off for the kit. So take advantage of that.
Well, and I was going to say, quite a few shops have been ordering Royal Garden.
Oh, good.
So your local shop, if you have a shop that you're used to working with, I mean, this is not an exclusive design to Sassy Jack's, we want to support Kim and what she does at Sassy Jack's. But if you have a local shop that you go to, or that you're accustomed to working with, they can get this for you. They can get all the materials for it.
Yep. Yep. Susan at Fire Poppies be happy to put together a kit for you. I'm glad to hear people are ordering that up. I hope that's
Kathy
because of
at Needle in a Haystack will be happy to do it for you. And, you know, several of the other shops are more than happy to put this together for you.
Yep. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I hope that we have been an influence there. Because I love the design.
Oh, thank you.
I do. I remember when you came out with that. You were trying to name it. That's what I remember.
Yeah. I had a contest.
You did.
And I got like 100 and something different suggestions. And Royal Garden was, I thought, the most appropriate for the design. So,
yep. It's a good one. So join us for that. Join us for that. That's on July 5. And now you got nothing but time on your hands.
Nothing but time.
So now you're doing something. You're starting a deal.
Yes.
She has nothing but time.
Yes, nothing but time. Just a little bit of background. The quarantine and the lockdown has been has caused me to have some anxiety. I mean, probably not unlike other people. And so what do I do? And so when you're anxious, there are different things you can do. Eating is not something that I wanted to do. Baking is not something that I wanted to do, because then that leads to eating. And so to self-soothe, I've been designing. Okay, so there's a lot of aspects to my business, writing instructions and kitting and ordering supplies and stuff like that. But designing is what makes me the happiest and what puts me in my happy place and lets me shut things out. And so I've been designing, and I've come up with several different designs. And then I was like, well, what should I do with these? So what I've decided to do is, on my website, I have a blog, and I am going to stitch one of these designs and invite everyone to stitch along with me if you want to. I will be posting instructions. I will tell you which thread I use, why I use that thread. My blog post for tomorrow will outline the threads that I've pulled to start the design and the size of the canvas and stretcher bars and stuff like that. But, you know, change the colors if you want to, change the textures if you want to. I know how hard it is for all of us to get out and go to shops. And so I pulled from my stash. Now, I admit I have a pretty big stash and I have a pretty varied stash. I admit that. But I'll be happy to help you decide what threads you can work with. I outline it on my blog post for tomorrow and show you the colors that I've picked. And then we'll start stitching, and I will show you every step of the way, what I do, how I do it, diagrams for it. If you want to wait until the very end and download the whole thing, it's free. You'll be able to get it for free. This isn't going to cost you anything except for your threads. So this is just an effort to maybe brighten all of us up a little bit. I don't know how it's going to be received. I hope people like it. I hope people will stitch along with me. And, the design is already done, so you're not going to be participating in the designing or anything like that, but you will get to watch me go through everything else. Because when I design, when I stitch, when I come up with a design, I put everything down on the computer first, because it's easier for me to take things out and move things around as a computer graphic as opposed to thread. And so I'm not one of these that stitches and then tries to recreate what I've designed mm-hmm. when I was stitching. I design it first. And so the design is done. There are no Jessicas, double fan doubles, Walnettos, anything like that. It's some pretty straightforward County Canvas stitches, patterns and textured stitches and things like that. The design is small, it's 6x6, and so I recommend 12-inch stretcher bars to give you 3 inches on each side of the design, but it's a really small design, and that's what I'm doing.
All right. That sounds like fun.
Well, I hope it will be.
No Jessicas? Are you okay?
No. Yeah, I'm fine.
Really?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Debbie, that had to have been tough.
Yeah. Well, see, now Curdy, I don't think Curdy could design anything without a Jessica in it. No. I don't think it's in her makeup, but I can.
That's her basket weave. That's what that is.
That's her basket weave. It's a 3x3 Jessica. Yep. For anyone who, Curdy and I are great friends and we email each other all the time. We're roommates when we go to seminars and things like that. And so, yeah. She won't mind poking a little fun.
No, that is absolutely her basket weave right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's her basket weave. All sizes and shapes of Jessica is done with a metallic thread.
Yeah, of course, because why
Yes, of
not?
course. And then throw a bead in there. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's curvy. That's how she does things. But now these are more texture. And what I've done is I've drawn from quilt blocks for inspiration. And I'm just using, like, this first design is just two colors. It's a light shade and a dark shade of the same color. And so, there's not a wide palette, and it's like quilt block. It's like a quilt block.
Isn't it amazing how quilt blocks show up as designs? I mean, as
Oh,
old as quilting is, it still is an effective design approach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're so graphic. And, I've been examining a lot of quilt blocks. And I'm not talking about the really artistic ones, which show up in my Facebook feed. I'm talking about blocks that use squares and triangles to convey the shape. Curves, just squares and triangles. And it's amazing what you can do with squares and triangles to convey a pattern.
I mean, they just show up. Your work, all kinds of needlework.
Yeah. Oh,
It
yeah. Or,
invariably, a designer will use a quilt
yeah.
block design somewhere along the way.
For inspiration, Kathy Reeves has done a whole series, autumn log, spring log, summer log. When it's based on a log cabin design, that's a quilting pattern.
Oh, and those are beautiful.
Oh, yeah, love
Oh,
them.
her
They're
designs are
fabulous.
gorgeous.
She does an awful lot with color and texture that, in combining overdyed threads that no one else does. And so, they're really great.
And those things, those log designs of hers, when you see the picture, you immediately, oh, that's too big and that's huge and I could never do that. They're not big
No, they're
and
not.
they're not hard and they're
No.
stunning. They're stunning.
Yes. Well, and Nancy's Needle is another one that has based a lot of her designs on quilt blocks.
Oh, we've
And
talked
so,
about her. I still, I cannot say enough about her designs.
she's fabulous. She's a wonderful designer, and it's so approachable and accessible for someone who wants to get into beginning counting canvas. I mean, she's great.
I
And
call it
a
my
nice lady.
I call it mindless stitching because you don't have to know any stitches.
No, it's the same stitch, but she also
Oh.
uses a lot of
Yep.
overdyes, and that helps to convey some of the color changing and texture. And they're wonderful. They're fabulous designs.
What she gets out of that one stitch with just the threads
I know.
is it's
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And you can sit there and anybody can do them. Anybody can
Oh,
do
yeah.
them, and you can have half your mind on it and do them and do them well.
And Laura Perrin is another one who has done a lot of, she's used quilt blocks for inspiration. Beautiful designs, fabulous designer, wonderful instructions and everything. And so, yeah, I'm not breaking new ground.
No, but it's just, I mean, that's the thing is there's the quilt blocks are so timeless.
They are.
And
And that's another thing. Quilting is as a hobby. Everything else is cyclical and has ups and downs. Quilting does not. It remains steady throughout.
Yeah, somebody once told me that exactly that. That no matter what, quilting always continues as a hobby business at a pretty steady pace.
Pretty steady pace. And to me, it's when you look at the investment to get started in quilting, yikes. Compared to, buying a hoop and some Aida cloth and some floss. I mean,
Isn't that the truth?
because you could do a cross stitch design for, oh, $5, $10, but quilting, not so much. But
No.
we can stitch quilt patterns with our needles and threads. And derive a lot of pleasure and enjoyment from it, have something beautiful.
All right, so that starts tomorrow.
Yeah. my blog post from yesterday outlines or introduces it, and then tomorrow we start with the threads in Canvas.
Okay. I just need a piece of 18-count white canvas.
Yep.
All right.
Or any color, and I outline that in the post tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be pretty solidly covered. So if you wanted to use a different, if mostly, you know, if, as much as I like to support shops and all that, I also understand that money can be tight. And so if you have some stash that you can work from stash.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like fun.
Oh, good.
It does. It does. You know, and I will call attention to people's attention to, I think you still have it, that little design if they sign up for your mailing list.
Yeah, it's still there. It's still there.
Get on Debbie's mailing list so you can download that little design. That little 4-inch, I think it is really a nice little design that you get free if you just get on her mailing list.
Yeah.
And that's a nice one too. Yep. I did that one up and had it put in a box and it worked out beautifully. Yeah, that's a nice one. So we have that. Now, the other thing has come to me from the Royal School of Needlework. Now, of course, we're all in this same boat, and they've had to shut down everything. Yeah. So, obviously, they can't have their classes. They've had to shut down a whole lot of things. And they are all self-supporting contributions type of operations. So, their cash flow has a lot of it just disappeared. So, they're just putting out the word that, what is it? From the their chief executive, that encouraging people to if you're of a mind to take advantage of their online shop. Obviously, if you want to make a donation to them, they have a way to do that. That's always been in place, I'm pretty sure, so that you can contribute to the Royal School just in general. But check out their shop and keep them in mind because they are one of those icon. Educational institutions in the hobby, in the field, in the art field, not a hobby, it's an art field. So let's keep them in mind, keep the Royal School of Needlework in mind, and go to their website and their online shop, and it's royal-needlework.org.uk. But if you just put in Royal School of Needlework, believe me, it'll come up. Consider helping them out because that we don't want them going away, and they're in the same boat. They've had to close their doors, and of course, their classes are, I'm sure, their mainstay, steady stream of people through all of their satellites and their main facility, and so all of that has been shut down. So, like everybody else, support the people who are there for us, no matter what, and the Royal School is one of them.
You know, I was listening to you and Vonna talk about the 10 things that you wanted to do in needlework. And honestly, the only thing I could think of from my list would be to get certification through the Royal School of Needlework.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And in order to do that, you have to be there for an extended period of time and take classes and things like that. And that would be the one thing on my if I could do anything I wanted to do with needlework, that would be the thing.
That would be a really cool accomplishment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Even if you never do anything with it, just to accomplish it. Yeah.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, a lot of our teachers do have certification through the Royal School. I'm thinking of Sandy Arthur in particular.
Yes.
But Michelle Roberts is another one that has certification through the Royal School, and probably some others but those two I know of right offhand. And so even though there may be people saying, why should we support the Royal School in the UK? Okay, well, because of the heritage, because of the legacy, because of the ongoing mission that they have to inspire, to teach needlework, they come to the United States and they do classes at Williamsburg. They do a lot of things. So it's not just, oh, it's just for people in England. This is for our world of embroidery to support the Royal School.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention about, they have regular classes in the U.S. So, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so consider that. And then they also have going on right now. This is a fun thing. Royal School of Needlework Postcard from Home Challenge. And so you basically you do a piece of embroidery in whatever style you want, whatever you want, that has something to do with your home. Your might be your own home, your town, your city, whatever it is. And then you submit that, and they're using the hashtag RSN postcard from home. And you submit that. So they're looking for these postcards from home from all over the world. And do it however you want. And you don't have to be a stitcher. You can just say, hey, I'm going to give this a whirl and see what happens. And check that out. They have a gallery of things that they're putting up so you can see what others have done. They'll give you some inspiration. But a fun thing, kind of tie the world together as we fight this virus, or actually try. We don't really fight it. We try to avoid it, don't we?
Yeah.
We try to avoid it. And it's a cool idea. So hashtag RSN postcard from home, the Royal School of Needlework postcard from home challenge. So check that out too. And, you know, postcard, that's not a real big project, not a big size. Right. So find that.
Three by five.
Right. You can do it. Yep. Grab some thread. You got a pile of it somewhere. Grab some, make something. Yep. I say that as if I'm going to do it this afternoon.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But yeah, keep the Royal School in mind as they as we all deal with this thing. So there we go. Mm-hmm. We had a discussion Sunday in our Sunday Stitchathon. You brought up, you were in the audience there, and the question of pin stitches came up. And I've been using pin stitches as a regular thing to start.
Yeah.
But I rarely use them to end a thread. And you were helping people out in the audience with the comments while we were doing the show, and I saw out of the corner of my eye several comments that you were very helpful to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that, because you really got my wheels spinning about focusing more on ending threads with pin stitches, because I always just want to flip the canvas and weave it under.
Mm-hmm. Well, and see, with counted canvas work, that's not always possible. You think of a stitch like a waffle stitch or a double fan double, where you've got loose floppy threads on the back. Where are you going to tie off?
Yes.
Okay, so what I have been instructing in my classes, and I do this in my video stitch demonstrations as well, is I show them how to use a pin stitch to begin. There's three different kinds of pin stitches that you can use to begin. You can use a single stitch, a stitch over a single canvas thread, and I always go three times. You can do an L-shaped stitch, where I do two times over one leg and one time over the other leg. And then there's a T-shaped stitch where it's, if you need a really flat anchor, like under a waffle stitch or something like that, and you've got a little bit of room that's going to be solidly covered, you could use a T-stitch. I always go over the canvas three times. A lot of people instruct twice. That's not enough, and it's not going to hold the stitch. And that's why a lot of people's pin stitches come loose, is because they've only gone over the thread twice.
And can I interject? It's particularly not enough if you're using silk thread, because it's so slippery. I find I have to sometimes even go four times to make sure that silk thread locks in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Well, or rayon or a neon rays.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Okay. So I've been in my classes, I show them where to put the pin stitch to make sure it's going to be covered up, because you I never want it at the beginning of the stitch. I don't want it in the direct path of the stitch. I want it where it's going to be covered. Now, the reason for that is, and a lot of people make them, and they do the same thing with a loop start. They make their loop over too many threads to start. It needs to be over a single thread. But I always put it away a little bit from my where I'm going to bring the needle up to begin the first stitch, because I want to cover my anchor, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to mistakenly count the pin stitch as the first part of the stitch. And so if I put it, like, for instance, let's say I'm doing a Bargello, which is over four canvas threads. where you bring the needle up at one, I would come up one canvas thread, do my pin stitch, then bring the needle up at one, leaving one canvas thread between the pin stitch and the start of my stitch. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I would cover the pin stitch with my first stitch.
Yes.
Okay. So that hides it. You'll never be able to see it. And I do this with crescents, jessicas, double fan doubles, walnettos. I do it with everything that I can, because the more you flip the canvas, the more time it takes. And so if you can do everything from the front of the canvas, then you're saving time. And this is taken from Japanese embroidery. Japanese embroidery, it's a disgrace to flip your canvas.
I'll never get in a class then.
I've taken some Japanese embroidery classes from American teachers, not Japanese teachers, but you know, they've told stories about, you know, it's a disgrace to flip your canvas, and they really, you know, this is just terrible if you have to flip your canvas. And so, okay, fine. So they start and stop from the front. Now, to use a pin stitch to end, what you do is you have to, like, let's take the Bargello again. And, you know, you've got threads covering four canvas threads in like a row. So what you do is you kind of separate a little bit to where you can see the canvas. You do this from the front, not from the back. Go over a canvas thread, single canvas thread, two times, then snip your thread. You can either snip it from the front if you're really brave, which is what I do, or you can snip it from the back. It doesn't matter. And you only need to go over two times to end a thread, because there's not going to be any tension on the stitch from now on.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. All right. So that was where, and this is where I don't do it.
Then you kind of mush the threads, okay, the stitch back over it to cover it up.
So if I did a double fan double,
yes,
you know, starting with a pin stitch, no problem. I get it.
Right.
But ending, so you would simply just separate the threads over one
separate
of those fan blades.
A little bit close to the center.
Uh-huh.
I would just kind of separate the threads. You don't want to put it in the path where it's going to show, but just kind of separate the threads a little bit. Take a stitch over a single canvas thread two times, then snip the thread off.
Okay. Because see, I never would consider that, because I'd be afraid I'd disturb what I stitched.
Well, but you do disturb it while you're stitching, but then you move the threads, you kind of stroke them back into place, back over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers it up and you never see it. And so I've been demonstrating this in my stitch videos as well. I show them how to end with a pin stitch for that particular stitch, where to put it, how many times to stitch. And I don't flip the canvas when I'm doing a video, so I snip it from the front. And if you want to snip it from the front, what you do is you pull the thread up so that there's some tension on it. Hold your scissors down way close, not just the points, but like the flat blades of the scissors,
yeah,
laying on top. And while you're pulling the thread, snip, and that shouldn't cut any of the threads that you've already put in. And it'll kind of, when you release the tension, it'll kind of suck that little end back down, and you'll never be able to see it.
Okay.
And so, and it's funny because, you know, in my classes, I demonstrate all kinds of really complex stitches. And at the end of class, I'll say, what did you learn? I learned how to start and stop using a pin stitch. That's what they take away from it. And when you consider that most of us are self-taught, we've never had anybody show us how to do anything. Right?
Right.
We are self-taught.
Yep.
And so that's
my hand is raised.
Yes, me too. I was self-taught. You know, I taught myself how to do hardanger. I taught myself how to do counted canvas. You know, I saw it. I wanted to do it. I got an instruction book and I did it.
Yep.
Didn't have anybody show me. And so a lot of the thread starting and stopping and thread management stuff, I never learned. You just kind of intuit. You mm-hmm. just think what would be logical, and so that's what you do.
Yeah.
But starting and stopping with a pin stitch has really made a big, huge difference, especially for some of these loose stitches where there's really no place to anchor the thread.
Right.
So
okay, you've given now you've given me a new challenge. Well, see, this okay. It helps me. It helps me to have a challenge like that, to force myself to go through a piece as much as possible without ever flipping the canvas over.
It does make it a lot neater. Yeah. And one, and I know that you're obsessed about your backs, which I don't understand. Because I'm
team. And you're not.
I'm not. It's just whatever you need to do. But you can also disturb the stitches on the front by weaving under.
Right.
You know, if it's a long stitch and you're trying to weave under, you can compress those stitches on the back while you're trying to find a good way to anchor.
Right.
And it can disturb what's on the front way more than just doing a pin stitch would. And so, yeah, it makes it a lot neater.
Well, see, and that's, you know, that's exactly one of the things that I deal with in weaving under from the back side, is I always turn it over and then check to see if I have damaged the front side.
And did I catch any threads?
Yeah,
did I split any threads? Because since then that makes it harder. Now, a pin stitch is really hard to pick out.
I know. Yes.
Really hard to pick out, but no harder to pick out than threads that you split from weaving under.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you ever wonder whether a pin stitch will hold, try picking one out. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You'll have every confidence that the next one will hold. Yep.
Yeah. And I really prefer pin stitches to start, especially for any stitch that's going to have tension on it where you're weaving the thread over and under like you do with a Jessica or double fan doubled or a Walnetto.
Yep.
That really holds the thread securely, even the tension for the very first stitch, because, you know, if you use an away knot, sometimes that tension is not good on the very first stitch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use a pin stitch, it will be.
Yeah, because that's with an away knot, that's one thing that I always do is if I use it, I always make sure it's way away. So I have plenty of thread to work with. But then as I weave that end back in somehow, then I'm very conscious of that, what I'm doing to that first stitch.
Yeah. See, and I will only use an away knot if it's for something that I'm going, I put my, like for instance, let's say I'm doing a row of upright cross stitches. And so I will, and I'm going to start on the left side of the band of upright cross stitches. I will put my away knot on the right side, mm-hmm. about 3 inches away in the path.
Mm-hmm.
So that as I'm stitching, I'm covering the tail on the back. And then when I come to the knot, I can just clip it off. So that way I'm not having to weave anything in. I've stitched over it and held it securely as I was going. And so when I use an away knot, that's how I use it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm going to use a pin stitch or a loop start.
Yeah. And see, loop start for me, I go to lengths to avoid stitching with two strands. So I'll go as high as you need on the thread count to avoid two strands. So
I'm stitching a model now for A&G for next year, and 4 strands of Splendor, because straight stitches, I need to cover the canvas, and I'm using a loop start on that honeysucker.
Yep, I'm sure you are. Yep.
Because it's just easier. You know, cut my thread twice as long as I need. I fold it in half, get my loop, make my loop over where it's going to be covered by the first stitch, not at the start of the first stitch, but where it's going to be covered by the first stitch, and away I go.
Yep. No, it's very handy, but if I don't have to do with two strands, I avoid it. So I don't mind. I don't mind laying threads. I mean, if it's something where it's you know, a satin stitch or something where the threads are supposed to be laid, I don't mind that at all. Matter of fact, I rather enjoy laying stitches. It's kind of soothing, and the end result done right is really very, very nice visually. But if I'm stitching on a piece and it's always two strands, no way. Give me higher thread count. I don't want it.
Yeah, well, and you know, the thing is, one of the things that I like about Canny Canvas so much is, like, for instance, this model that I'm stitching with 4 strands of Splendor. It's a pavilion diamond stitch that's outlining an area. Well, I don't have to look at the chart. I don't have to look at anything. I just look at my canvas and I'm stitching. And my mother-in-law commented last night, because she's wanting to start stitching too, and she has a project. And she said, I don't know that I'll ever be able to stitch and watch TV in the evening like you do. Well, if I'm having to focus on changing colors and which floss and all this other kind of stuff, it's really difficult. But if I'm doing something like that, oh, honey, yeah, let me do that all day long. As a matter of fact, I wasn't having to make any decisions about that. And so I just spent a couple of hours and did all, outlined all of the blocks. I don't know that that's how I'll teach the class, but that's what I did because I didn't have to think about it. It was mindless.
Yeah.
You know, it was okay. Now what I'm okay. This is where I'm going next. Okay. And so I just did it. Much easier.
Yeah.
About anything.
And those mindless sections are fun. Cause you know,
oh,
you can,
they are.
Yeah. You can watch a movie and just have at it. Yep.
Or when they resume sports.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
When they resume, I don't know if they'll resume or not. You know, we're really kind of missing Formula One and American Ninja Warrior and all those shows that we like to watch. We're kind of missing them. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, when they resume sports. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. That's messing up a lot of things. Yep.
Well, I know some people that are really in mourning for it. They're even watching reruns of old shows. Old games, which I'm just like, you know who won.
Yeah.
No, you know thanks. What's going to happen, but I guess it's no different than watching the same movie several times.
I suppose. I don't know. Seems different to me.
It seems different to me too. I mean, it just seems different to me.
Yeah, that I won't do.
Because, you know, a lot of times we'll watch Formula One on a delay because it's in Malaysia or Singapore, wherever, and we're not going to watch it at 2 o'clock in the morning, obviously.
Right.
And so we'll watch it on a delay. And occasionally in my news feed, I'll know who won.
Oh.
Okay. So I never say anything because my husband didn't see it and he's way more interested than I am. And so it really makes a huge difference watching the race if I know who won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Now, see, I do that with, I love watching drag racing and stitching because there is so much dead time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for the 3 second race that you can do
and,
an awful
you know,
lot.
If there's a crash, they're going to show that several times.
Right,
so you're
right,
not going to miss it.
But that's one where often those are shown delayed. And I follow a lot of drag racers on Instagram. Yeah. I will not look at my Instagram account all day because I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know it happened 3 hours ago. I don't care. I do not want to know. I want to experience it for the first time. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to make an effort these days, a real effort to avoid that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You have to just like, I'm not going to be online. I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to be on my computer. I'm not looking.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Because you are going to find out even by accident, even when you don't want to, you're still going to find out.
That's right. Yep. It's going to show up. Yeah. No,
mm-hmm.
So you have to make an effort. Yep. All right. Now, of course, every time we're going to run out of time, but I was anxious for a chance to talk to you. This
okay.
is, well, in general, but I have this one point that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
So, and I'm probably absolutely splitting hairs and getting ridiculously anal retentive about this. But stitching with pearl cotton, you know how it will fray.
Right.
And I'm getting more and more, like I hate when the shine starts to go away on that because it's such a beautiful thread to me.
Right. I love pearl cotton. I use
yes.
a lot of it.
Yes, you do. but I just hate that. And so, but then I find that I'm cutting off and throwing away thread that, you know, lengths of thread because mm-hmm. because they're starting to fray. And I think I'm using a big enough needle, but I always feel like maybe I should go another size bigger to get more use out of the thread. What do you just use shorter lengths or do you not worry about it so much? How do you deal with that so it doesn't get frayed?
Okay. Well, the first thing about needle size is remember that the purpose of the needle is to slightly open the
right.
hole in the ground
right.
to let the thread pass through more easily. If your needle is not doing that, you need a bigger needle.
Right.
And so, you know, I.
Is there an 18 needle? I don't know.
There is.
Is there?
There is.
I feel sometimes like that's what I need.
I think an 18 is going to be a little bit too big
for
18 count canvas, because I put 18 count, size 18 needles in my kits to make double fan doubles around, because they don't easily pass through the canvas. But you might try a 20.
All right.
You might try a size 20. Okay. So now,
and again, I think I'm probably just going over the top with this, but I just kind of feel like I should get more out of the thread before it starts to look ratty.
Well, and so a lot depends, you know, the length of pearl cotton that you need to use depends upon the stitch that you're doing. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in some of my classes, I tell them to wind off 108 inches of pearl cotton, because we're doing a Jessica that goes through the canvas very few times. It's a big, huge Jessica, and it's just going to take that much thread to get all the way around, and it may not get all the way around. I've got one design where it took a total of 756 inches to stitch the whole Jessica, because it was that big. Okay. Well, if you're not going through the canvas that much, if each thread is laying across 24, 36 canvas threads, it's not going to fray.
Yeah.
It's going to tangle. You're going to have more problems with knotting than you are with fraying,
right,
but it's not going to fray. If you're doing basket weave, if you're doing a small Smyrna over two, you need to use 24 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is going through the canvas a lot, and it will fray. And there's nothing you can do to prevent that. So it really depends on the stitch that you're doing.
All right. I thought you might have some tip, but nope.
No, I don't have any tip. I just have, you know, I have never been able to determine that if there's a nap to pearl cotton or not. I know that there's some people who say that they can tell. Great. I can't. I've tried. I've rubbed it. You know, they say rub it against your teeth. I've done that. I don't know what I'm doing.
I haven't heard that one. Against your teeth.
Oh, yeah. They rub it against your teeth and you'll be able to feel it and all this stuff. I can't feel it. So I must just be incredibly insensitive. You know, I'll rub it with my fingers. I can't tell. And so what I do is I just do good thread management, which should apply to every thread. Go straight up and down through the canvas without dragging it across the canvas. Don't let it get caught on your tacks. Don't let it get caught on the corner of your stretcher bars or the edge of your canvas. And just use good thread management. And
all right,
straight up and down through the canvas more than anything else is good thread management.
Yep. Okay. I guess I'll just keep dealing with it and try. I think it's half in my head, but
Gary, I think a lot of your problems are in your head.
Yeah, you're probably right. I won't deny that.
No. I just hate to break that to you, but, you know, really.
I won't deny that.
Yeah, I have a tendency to be in my head too much, too. And so as much as I've worked with pearl cotton, I've worked with number 3, number 5, number 8, 16, 12. I've worked with all kinds of pearl cotton. And, you know, make sure that you're using the appropriate size needle for the canvas and the appropriate length of thread for the stitch that you're doing. If you're doing a short stitch that's coming in and out of the canvas a lot, you need a shorter length. If you're doing a long stitch that's not entering the canvas that much, like a Jessica, like a double fan doubled, like a Walnetto, you can use a longer length. And it's better to use a longer length to get through the whole stitch without having to start and stop. But here again, even if you do have to start and stop, it's relatively easy to manage. And that's one of the things that I instruct in my classes is how to tell where your last stitch was, or how to start and stop and not lose your place. And so I help students figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah, on those stitches like that, boy, I'd rather have the long length and deal with that than to start and stop.
756 inches.
I can't even imagine that. That's crazy.
No, see, no. You're going to work with about 100 inches. You're going to start and stop.
Yep.
And because you'd be so frustrated with pulling the thread through, pulling it up, then pulling it down, then pulling it up, then pulling it down. Be so frustrated with it. It would be worthless. And it's better to learn how to start and stop and where to start and stop than to deal with that.
Something like that. That's a two-person job there.
Well,
You stand on the other side of the room and just hang on to this thing.
cool.
What are you doing? Just hold on to it.
Just hold this. Just hold
just be
this.
quiet. Yeah. All right, Debbie. Always a treat. Thank you.
Always love talking to you, and I'll look forward to the next time.
Yep. And folks, get to Debbie's site. What is it? Debbie's Designs, right?
Yes, it's Debbie's Designs. I'm sure you'll put up a link because
Yep.
you're an excellent researcher and podcaster who will take care of all that kind of thing.
Always do. Yep, in the show notes will be the links. So start tomorrow with that project Debbie's starting, and get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, and it's free. You don't have to, it's a free chart.
Chew up some stash. Have fun. There
Have
we
fun.
go.
That's the most important thing. Let's all have fun and see if we can keep our anxiety and fear, dread, and depression at bay for a little while longer.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Debbie. Thanks to Susan and Fire Poppies for sponsoring the show. And visit firepoppies.com and make Susan work. That's how we do it.
Absolutely. I want Susan to be so busy that she wonders why doesn't she have more hours in the day.